No.
That was audible. I think the microphone was
I don't think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Panning the Stream. My name is Bianca Reichert. Sitting, does it smell really bad?
It smells really bad.
That was you, or was that Razor?
That was Razor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sitting across from me, if you didn't already assume by all the fart talk, is Dan Reichert. Hello, Dan.
That's me. I'm your husband. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. So I guess that's it. We watched One Punch Man.
We did. We watched three episodes of the One Punch Man.
The first three episodes, so we watched it on Netflix.
Yes, this was one of the more recommended things we have gotten on top of. You know, we got the Terrace Houses from recommendations. We got Terrace House, the one we got all the time. I feel like I'm blanking on a million
other
things.
We've gotten so many recommendations that we've used.
I'd say damn near half of what we've watched has been from recommendations.
Yeah. So we use your recommendations. If you think of anything we might like, please send us an email at panningthestream@gmail.com. We even sprung for our own Gmail address.
We did. No
so
expense.
You better take advantage of it.
Yes.
So yeah, we watched the first three episodes. This is an anime, or a haname, as you
it
like
is
to say.
It's a haname. I don't like to. I just say it accurately.
It looks like it came out in 2015. So it's a lot more recent than I thought it was. I feel like I've been hearing about this show for a really long time, but I guess it's only 3 years old.
Yeah, I don't know where it debuted. I don't know if it like came to
It's probably
Netflix.
One of those deals then. It's probably one of those things where it's like, oh, it came out in Japan many years ago, but
And
finally,
like Netflix struck a deal or something.
Maybe, yeah.
We don't know anything about anything.
We have
so.
No idea no. what's going on.
We just watched
at any
three episodes
time.
Without context. Yeah. Yes. So, some thoughts. Because we've watched some haname.
Please, let's discuss.
Let's
I mean,
talk
that's
about
why
it.
We're here after
oh,
all.
Oh, that's why we're sitting in front of the microphones. Yeah. Okay. So you and I, we've watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z.
We have.
That is the big one we've watched. For Panning the Stream, we've also watched Assassination Classroom. I don't know if we've watched any other anime, really.
Conan Undercover.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Case Closed.
Case Closed.
I don't know if you count Castlevania. I don't know if that was any part of that was made in Japan. We watch a lot of Japanese TV between like Terrace House and Sunshine Sento Sake and documental and stuff. But as far as like traditional anime, I think we've only really covered Assassination Classroom.
Wasn't Case Closed traditional anime?
I guess so. I guess I just don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Here.
I'm just sitting around farting.
Let me take the reins.
All right.
I got it.
Yes.
I assumed watching the first episode that all the episodes would be like this, and judging by the three episodes that we watched, I was correct. There seems to be one antagonist, or more, that the One Punch Man is able to defeat.
With one punch.
With one punch.
Yes.
And he seems to be kind of like an apathetic mid-20s Japanese guy living by himself, kind of conflicted with the fact that he has this immense power, but he never gets to really challenge himself in like a, you know, always longing for a fight in that Vegeta kind of way, to the point where he dreams about actually having someone who can match his skill, but then he wakes up to find that, you know, that's not the case.
Yeah, but whereas Vegeta dreams of like training and becoming strong enough to defeat Goku, like Vegeta actually has something he is training towards. Like he is trying to match Goku and defeat him. Whereas like One Punch Man, it seems like he is more, I wish somebody would give me an actual fight.
Right. Yeah, I guess my analogy was based on the fact that like Vegeta is always looking for a good fight to the point where he will compromise like humanity to get
oh,
that good fight.
His son, everything. Yeah. I think the big difference is One Punch Man trained so hard back when he was training that he went bald. Whereas as hard as Vegeta trains, I think his hairline just goes up and his hair gets taller.
Well, in the Dragon Ball Z universe, long hair, the longer hair is apparently the more powerful you are.
That is true. We did just see Super Saiyan level 3, which then some long hair there.
Yeah. So, did you buy that though? I wonder if that's actually the explanation for his strength, that he just trained super hard.
Okay, so that's one of my favorite things we saw in these three episodes. And I think it was at the end of the third one.
Yeah.
Where, so around halfway through these episodes, he befriends this like cyborg guy. And the cyborg is kind of this like.
I think you could call it the second episode.
You could. Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm not
halfway
an anime expert,
the three
Bianca
episodes
Reichert.
That we watched would be the second
okay.
episode.
He gave me a very Raiden in Metal Gear Solid 4 vibe, kind of this like cyborg
Why is that, Dan?
Oh, I can't start on Metal Gear. But he's kind of like a blonde type guy, cyborg, kind of like nimble, fast, you know, like Raiden. You see Raiden. Okay, so when he was with Rose, and then the Solid Snake simulation is actually the selection. Okay, I'll stop.
Oh, can I just share the Metal Gear Solid realization that I came to yesterday when we were listening to the music from Smash Brothers?
Yeah, I'm
trying. That Snake Eater is just a Bond song.
Oh, 100%.
Like, because in the Bond songs, they're always, like, weird, like, orchestral for the most part, and they always, like, say the name
Golden Eye.
Yeah, or like, Skyfall, or whatever that song was. And this just, like, repeats Snake Eater over and over, and it's, like, this impassioned woman singing about it, like, her life depends on it.
Well, in the opening of Snake Eater, they would put out trailers and stuff where it was, like, silhouettes going against these, like, psychedelic backgrounds, and it was set in the 60s. Like, it is, like, it is unabashedly, Kojima, like, watch a bunch of Bond.
I feel like we should watch Bond, Dan. Maybe not necessarily for painting the stream. So this has been a long-running thing in our relationship. Before we actually met in person, when we were just talking on the internet, we decided that we would have the year of Bond, where we would get through. Dan had this whole collection of Bond.
I spent like $120 getting this giant Blu-ray set of like 23 movies.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, all right, we're gonna make martinis and he drinks martinis, right?
It's either that or margarita, and I always get it mixed
up. I don't think it's a margarita. No, margaritas are those whatever the fancy guy thing is. I think it's a martini.
Okay, margarita is like a Dave Lang thing. That's
margarita is like what you get at a Mexican restaurant,
right?
Those they come in giant cauldrons.
Okay,
and they're really sweet.
Whereas Bond has like a weird olive in it. It looks like something I'd never want to drink.
Yeah. Anyway, and then we just kind of every night we would plan on watching one. We would just decide against it to the point where merely talking about watching it would suffice, and we didn't actually have to watch it. So we've gotten a really long time avoiding Bond movies.
Yeah, I wound up selling the whole Bond collection because, like, we would want to watch it, and be like, it's kind of, like, old and long. But then we would just wind up watching, like, old three-hour episodes of Nitro, which doesn't really – we don't really have much of an
excuse. Well, we had a ritual to it.
We did. We played Uno and watched old NWO era
Come
Nitro.
Come on, man. You're leaving out the Uno.
It was part of your education of –
Oh my gosh.
You came out the other side a changed woman.
Yeah, and we would skip over all the wrestling, so we were just mainlining the story.
We'd skip through all these like awesome cruiserweight matches and stuff just to watch Hogan and Bischoff
and
go.
Literally all that left us was just NWO yelling in a parking lot or like was it Tony Schiavone like pushing Tony Schiavone out of the way to grab the mic and just say something really dumb about, you know, losers.
But a bunch of 45-year-old guys trying to act like cool teenage rebels.
But they super were, apparently. Apparently that was cool back then.
They were pretty unironically cool back when I was a decidedly not cool teenager.
You should, if you're listening to this and you haven't, you should go on YouTube and watch the NWO commercials.
Yes.
For the NWO merch. Yeah,
the following advertisement is brought to you by the New World Order.
Oh, man.
They're too sweet.
Anyway.
So, yes, One Punch Man. So, I almost wonder if, since we haven't seen a ton of anime, if we are missing part of this. Because I believe at least one person has pitched the show to me as almost like a parody of anime.
Yeah. Well, it definitely – can I tell you the one moment where I felt like that was true?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that your friend said that to you. So I just – I had that thought organically. Was when in the cyborg episode where the cyborg is, you know, it's a cyborg, this teenage cyborg – telling his sad, sappy backstory, and it's something that – it's a moment that we've seen – or that I've seen at least in many of the anime that I've watched in my life, where it's like a solemn piano playing in the background and he's going through his whole backstory. And it's like, okay, it's a fucking teenage cyborg. It's not like this
–
it's so goofy and weird. And then you just have the One Punch Man like being like, all right, enough. I can't stand, you know, you're talking too much or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the moment for me where it's like, all right, this seems kind of irreverent. But the thing that I don't – I don't want to say I don't like it, but it kind of got to me a little was like how self-aware and cool it wanted to be. It was just – there was just too self-aware. Like the thing I like about anime when I do like it is it's just so over the top and seems completely unself-conscious.
Just
and
the super dramatic. Like
so
Dragon
dramatic.
Ball is totally – like Dragon Ball has goofy shit, but like when it's doing serious shit, like when Vegeta's about to blow up or something.
Everything is just sold so fucking hard.
Yeah. I'm with you too. Like I want when they were screaming and throwing fireballs, I want that to be the most earnest screaming fireballs you can imagine.
And I want to be the one to say to you, to look over and say to you, like this fucking teenage cyborg has been going on. It's kind of funny that this guy is – you know,
right,
telling a sappy story.
So is the fact that, like, you know, you feel like a character is looking at the camera and winking at you during One Punch Man, is that kind of a turnoff?
Yeah,
for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, so my concern with it is, like, there's 12 episodes of the show. We just watched these three. Mm-hmm. We're not committing to watching more right now. But if people write in and tell us that it does lead to a bigger, longer arc or anything, I wouldn't be against returning to this at some point.
Right.
But so far, yeah, we watched a quarter of the first episode, and it was very formulaic, like you said. It's like they introduce one or more villains.
You mean the first season? We watched all of the first episode.
I'm sorry, we watched the first three episodes. So we watched a quarter of the first season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of formulaic in that, like, we build up this big, like, usually these really well-designed, cool villains that I feel like in a like, non-comedy anime. Okay, Crablante is hilarious. But, like, some of them, like, some of the design on them is, like, really fucking cool. So, like, at the end, let me look up this guy's name. What is it? Carnage Kabuto. Just this giant, crazy thing that, like, activates some super rage mode and starts, like, trying to destroy everything. Like, that thing looked genuinely cool, but then it's always to serve, like, oh, One Punch Man realizes he's late to go get the sale at the supermarket, mm-hmm. so he kills him with one punch, and he's like, oh, I'm going to miss the sale. Like,
I will say, in contrast to Dragon Ball Z, which this is one of the things that I don't like about Dragon Ball Z that I feel like most people would probably say about it, is it's always kind of the same thing where it's like there's some kind of big bad boss, and it takes... The fight lasts a really long time, and it seems like, oh, there's no way they're going to make it, and then there's Super Saiyan level 3, and then they're able to do it. They're able to kill him. I will say that it's nice to have a turnover, like, in one episode. Like, there's a villain introduced and a villain defeated in the span of one episode, so it's, like, immediately satisfying rather than putting it off and making, like, a season's worth of fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because even in, like, Dragon Ball Z Kai, which is, like, the abridged version of Dragon Ball Z,
the abridged version.
It's insane. I can't imagine, because, like, the part we're at, kind of as of this recording, is they're trying to start doing the fucking fusion dance stuff, and I feel like it's been, like, 10 episodes of Goku trying to explain to Trunks and Goten, like, okay, so you turn up your level a little bit, okay, and you're going to have to match that and do this, and, like, they've been talking about this fusion shit for so long, and it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. So I know exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. Like, we do get the turnaround. It is kind of like that old cartoon style of, like, bad things happening, what are the turtles gonna do about it? Oh, the turtles won.
Right.
You know, it is that, but it is doing that kind of, like, winking at the camera thing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it is just 12 episodes of that formula, I don't know if it would sustain me. But that said, there were things that I thought were genuinely really funny and that I liked a lot. Like, the whole, like, boss design stuff, I thought there were some really cool ones. And the idea of, I think it's that third episode where the cyborg guy is asking him how he got to be so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to tell you my secret. It's 100 push-ups, it's 100 sit-ups, and 100 squats every day. And then here's the important thing. You have to make sure in the summer you don't turn on the AC, in the winter you don't turn on the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was super funny because the cyborg guy is like, that's just extremely basic, not even strenuous, like, weight training or strength training.
Right.
I did like that. But yeah, he loses his hair in like a year and a half, and now he looks like a penis with a cape. I kind of like the design of just how boring he looks, I guess.
He just looks like a dude.
Because, yeah, he is supposed to be just this bored dude. He's not like the super ripped, crazy, like, you know, Goku fighter.
You know what I will say? I also like the fact that he's in his mid-20s. I feel like anime protagonists are usually, you know, teenaged or something, even though they'll look like they're adults. Like, fucking Gohan was how old, like 10 when he saved the world?
Oh, when he beat Cell? Yeah, he was like a little kid. Like this weirdly ripped kid.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yes.
So I like that, and yeah, there were definitely some moments that I enjoyed. Do you want to just walk through the episodes?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the villains here. Like, we start out with Vaccine Man.
Mm.
He's the first one we meet, and he just gets decimated, like, immediately. He's just this purple guy. My favorite early on one was Crablante, who is a crab in underpants, who was a normal man.
He ate too many crabs, I think.
Yeah, he ate too many crabs, and he turned into Crablante, and then a kid with a butt for a chin drew nipples on him in permanent marker, which enraged him.
If one of your habits would turn you into some kind of villain, what would you turn into?
I mean, I think the easy answer is just some sort of fast food chalupa man or whatever.
What would your power be, though?
I'd just get fat.
That would be...
just get fat and tired. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have to watch my cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
And I can't talk. I have to give up my podcasting career because all the chalupas made me not talk.
Well, I think even if you're not a chalupa man, you should still watch your cholesterol.
That's a PSA from Bianca Riker. Hey, kids, even if you're not a chalupa man.
I don't think you should wait until your body turns into a chalupa.
I don't even know if that's possible, frankly.
Well, let's find out next on Panning the Street. Chalupas are really good.
I never get them.
I was a big fan of them when they first came out. I haven't gotten them in a while. But the thing about the chalupa is they have this like pillowy kind of flatbread thing.
I feel like I should get one. And next time, hey, when we do WWE pay-per-views, we always get some trash-ass food and just gorge on it. So I will get a chalupa.
Wait a minute. I get a very sensible breakfast sandwich from McDonald's and a hash brown, okay?
Okay. I get a bunch of Taco Bells. Sometimes I get Taco Bell and McDonald's. It's great.
We have a lot of fun when there's a wrestling pay-per-view on.
Yes, it is great.
We have a good time.
Yes.
I love that. I used to hate when pay-per-views were coming on, but now I... Not hate them, but they were always such a drag, and now I love them.
Now we make a thing out of it.
We make a whole thing out of it.
Yes. Some other bad guys we meet here. There's a scientist that invents a steroid that turns this guy into Biceps King, which again, like... That's almost part of one of the things that bumps me out about this show is like, I think all these villains are hilarious and awesome between Crabalante and Bicep King and the Kabuto guy. Like,
yes.
I think these are cool things, but then like, I feel like I can't get too excited when they introduce one because it's like, oh, they're going to get punched and totally decimated
at
any moment.
I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like everyone just brought their ideas to the table and they were like, all right, we're going to be able to do every single one of these. Everyone gets, you know, their cool idea for a villain in the show.
It's like when Capcom runs a contest for kids to design like the Mega Man 6 bosses. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, here's a bunch of weird boss designs.
Like Table Man.
Yeah. One of them is a like custom car monster in the first episode and he just gets killed immediately. But they're cool ideas and they also like look really unique.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want them to stick around.
Right.
But they just get killed right away.
I like the mosquito lady.
Mosquito lady's girl. Cool. She's like kind of a focus of the second one. She has a big fight with the cyborg guy, which the cyborg guy definitely has a name and neither of us know it.
I loved how like how incredibly like sexual she was without, you know, actually like making out with anyone or anything. I thought that was cool.
It's a lot of like Soul Calibur
like,
poses.
Give me your juices or whatever. And like zooming in on her butt and stuff.
Right.
Yes. I thought it was cool.
And she's surrounded
I like that
by. Yeah, you love the Beauty and the Beast squad of Metal Gear Solid 4.
They were so cool. I can't believe people hate them. Oh, they were badass.
People super hate them.
Oh my God. They were so cool.
At the end of the first episode, there are those like underground creatures, these like subterraneans that show up. And One Punch Man fucks them all up. But then their king arrives and One Punch Man's like super excited thinking, oh, I'm going to finally have a real fight. Mm-hmm. And then he wakes up, his alarm goes off.
He grabs a brush and put on a little makeup.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. And then...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can rough. You got any Dream Theater quotes you want? Oh, wait. Yeah. I know a Dream Theater quote. Some dork with a guitar doing a solo for 45 minutes.
John Petrucci.
Sure.
Oh, hey, Your Automania is a really good song. Dream Theater is really cheesy. Some of their older stuff is really good, and Scenes from Memory has like two good songs, otherwise it's unbelievably cheesy. And I can't stand James LaBrie. And those are my thoughts on Dream Theater.
I know they're very talented fellows.
Incredibly talented.
I just, before I ever heard any of their music, I went to school with a bunch of really big fans
of
them.
People
and they...
that are super into Dream Theater are like, come on.
They do not shut up about Dream Theater. They made me not want to like Dream Theater at all before I ever heard a single note.
I could totally see that.
Yeah. But anyway, One Punch Man wakes up and then he finds out that the real subterraneans are just scampering away without a fight. And so he's bored. That's the thing. Every one of these episodes. Yeah, the second one is the mosquito girl and the cyborg guy. And we get a little bit of backstory about the cyborg and how his town, his family were destroyed by a cyborg. And this Dr. Cusino turns him into a cyborg with his life goal to defeat the evil cyborg and all this stuff. At one point, a praying mantis dude pops up and gets destroyed. And then like a frogman and that guy from Ah Real Monsters that holds his own eyes, he shows up and they just get fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then like this Beast King guy shows up. There's this monkey that like survives into episode 3 that kind of gives some backstory about this Dr. Genius guy who clones himself when he turns 70 and he's studying evolution. And that's where all the stuff with like Kabuto and everything happens at the end. And
you know, I gotta say, Dan, one thing I thought about while I was watching this is this version of Earth, I assume it's Earth, seems like a horrible place to live because every time one of these, you know, bad guys comes around, and there are many of them, they destroy entire cities.
Yeah.
I feel like most humans would be dead. How does anyone go about their day? Why aren't they living in fallout shelters?
It's like when Cell was going around just like destroying whole cities, or like Majin Buu is just turning everyone into candy and everything.
Yeah.
It's like city-wide destruction. But then it always ends really quick. Like it almost reminds me of in Raiders of the Lost Ark when that's a series we actually went through and watched all of when we said we were going to watch all of them because there's 4 Indiana Jones movies instead of 23 Bond ones.
Oh,
But remember, which, yes, we watched Crystal Skull. But in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when they have the one guy that, you know, they build him up to be this big thing with a sword, and he's like, ah, I'm this big boss character, and he just shoots him famously. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I feel like. Like, that one scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. I feel like that is what we have seen of One Punch Man.
Right.
It's like, oh, big crazy guy, he's a threat. And then, nope, it turns out he was nothing.
Right. I like I said, I think it's just a cool exploration of some fun ideas. Ideas for, like, villains, and I wonder if there is any, like, actual character development. I mean, the fact that we saw the cyborg in the second episode and then also the third episode makes me think he might be a companion for a while.
Yeah, that was kind of the one through line, mm-hmm. Because everything else just kind of started and stopped in the span of an episode. So I guess that gives me a little hope that maybe there's something, because, like, the cyborg has a quest that he wants to go on. He has a goal of killing this evil cyborg. So
Right. Maybe
it's his story, just like Metal Gear Solid 2. Hear me out. It's Raiden's story. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, we don't have time. We have all time in the world. We don't have time.
Yeah,
but we're
making the rules here.
Turns out I've talked about Metal Gear Solid on the internet a lot.
Well, let's talk more about wrestling then.
What do you want to talk about? Do you have any questions about wrestling?
No.
I've answered all your questions about wrestling. I found that people love it when they go to listen to a podcast about one thing and then it just turns into wrestling.
That's what they call in the business a swerve.
It is. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for One Punch Man. Like, it is pretty, like, these are short episodes, you know, they're like 24 episodes each, and like I'm finding with some Hanames, like, a lot of time is dedicated to the intro and outro credits. Case Closed was the same way, where mm-hmm. it had a pretty long beginning and ending credits thing.
And they're also, like, unimaginably dramatic and rarely match the tone of the show.
Yeah, although I did kind of like, you know, Dragon Ball definitely does the, or at least Kai does the thing at the end where it's like, hey everyone, I'm Goku. Next time the Earth's going to blow up. Well, that's crazy. Like, you know, but this one, like, since the show is already kind of silly.
They got, like, Cell in a recording booth to like, do the other, like.
Hello, everyone. No, this one, it's fits the tone better because it's like, this is a weird show, and I do kind of like how they've typically done, like, the voice of a villain, or like, hi, I'm Mosquito Girl, next time I guess I won't be around because I'm dead. Like,
far as outro music, mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but my favorite outro music was or as far as animes go, was Cowboy Bebop.
I remember that would be in our head. We need to go through, you know what. Here's a little teaser for potential upcoming stuff. Didn't they? I just sent you a link that Netflix announced they're going to do. Is it a live action Cowboy Bebop? So I wonder if they would wind up getting the rights to the full anime.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to be. That anime had such an awesome tone.
Well, whether they
whether
they put the anime on Netflix or whether they just put the live action thing, like I think we'll certainly cover that, and
that'd be great.
Maybe we'll watch the whole anime beforehand if they don't put it up there. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I like branching out. I like doing the anime stuff. A lot of what we have found on Painting the Stream that I like the most are things that I would have never normally watched.
Indeed.
So I did enjoy One Punch Man. Please email us at paintingthestream@gmail.com to kind of let us know, like, are our concerns about this show founded, or does it go places? Because if it
is, also just tell us how you're doing. We want to hear about your day.
Yes.
How's your life?
Please let us know.
Tell us your problems, and maybe we can help you with them.
Probably not. We are not professionals in any way. If you have any questions about the members of the Wolfpack versus NWO Hollywood, yes, I'd be happy to help you out with WCW knowledge. But yeah, you can email us at paintingthestream@gmail.com. You can follow us at PanTheStream on Twitter. Let us know suggestions. We get a lot of stuff from the folks who listen. And speaking of the listeners, thanks as always to everyone who participates in listener support program. If you go to paintingthestream.com and click support this podcast, you can help us out, help keep the lights on this podcast for $1, $5, or $10 a month, or you can just do it once and cancel. There's no real downside to that at all.
Guys.
So
no pressure.
Do what you want to do, or just listen and don't give us a damn cent.
It's a free country.
It is, but if you do want to support the podcast, there's a chance you might get a little haiku from one of our hosts, old Bianca Reichert. We got a couple new supporters.
Indeed.
Why don't you give a little haiku to a new supporter?
Well, Daniel, the supporter I'm reciting a haiku for on this fine day is a gentleman named Scott. Now, when I hear Scott, I think of Scott the Blood Clot from Degrassi Junior High. I think of Scott Stapp. So I think of a wide swath of fine individuals. So Scott, this one's for you, bud. Everyone knows Scott. They say he is the best dude, and they are correct.
Aw.
you go, Scott.
That's very nice.
That one's
honey.
For you, bud.
Thanks, Scott.
I love you, man.
Aw, and thanks for the haiku, Bonk. real quick, before we get out of here, do you have any suggestions?
Well, you go first this time because I went first last episode.
Okay. I just want to say, while I was traveling recently, did not have a lot of time to eat. I ate a lot of the new Ultimate Garlic Bread Meatball Marinara at Subway. Which was delicious. And again, the suggestions are never ads. You will know when it's an ad. Right. I just liked that sandwich a lot at Subway, and I would get some cool ranch chips and a nice Coke Zero, and it was a nice way to fill up cheap and quick. And
there's a Subway around.
Yep, and it'll have your burps tasting like garlic solid 6 hours. I was out of town. You don't have to worry about that here. So
you have a way of burping at me all the time.
No, it's because I sit on the left of the couch next to the fan or the AC, and so I don't realize that my burps go straight into your face.
Yeah, well, they do. I realize. Anyway, my recommendation for this week is a film from 1945 called Brief Encounter.
Oh.
So, while Dan was absent, I was in the mood for some romance, something that I wouldn't be able to watch if Dan were here because he would never probably want to watch it with me. So I went on Reddit and I found, you know, some recommendations for very romantic movies. And supposedly this one was one of the most romantic movies. And I looked for it on various streaming services. And unfortunately, I had to end up renting it from Amazon. Oh, boo-hoo, I had to pay $3 to watch a movie. But it was so worth it. It was great.
Awesome.
I loved it. I strongly recommend it. Brief Encounter from 1945. It's very sad.
1945. Black and white, I assume.
It is black and white, yes.
Okay.
In the shadow of World War II. And it's got unrequited love. It's got all the things I like.
It's your favorite.
Yep. So enjoy.
And a quick programming note for next week and weeks going forward. We are going to stop announcing ahead of time, at least on the podcast, what we're doing for the next week's episode. That'll just give us a little more flexibility with editing and everything, because a lot of times, you know, these things will kind of drop without a lot of advance notice, like we just heard about, like Bandersnatch and Bird Box and these things that we didn't really plan ahead for. So keep an eye on the Twitter account. Again, that is @PanTheStream. And typically midweek, we will announce what we're doing for the next that upcoming Sunday show, and then we'll probably retweet that and everything over the weekend. So keep an eye on @PanTheStream to find out what we're doing next week. You will not hear that anymore on the actual podcast. Thank you, everyone, for watching and supporting the podcast. Thank you to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you to my brother, Tom Monda. That's my brother. We have the same parents. And
yes.
He's in a band called Thank You Scientists, so check them out because they're super good, and they're recording a new album right now. And they're going to go on tour at some point next year, early national tour. So you should see them live, and you should say to Tommy, hey, I listened to your sister's podcast, and he'd probably be like, oh, okay.
You should do that.
And if you're into Prague, check them out.
Check out Tom Monda and Thank You Scientist.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Goodbye, everyone.